Continuing conversation we have just earlier this week with the anniversary of 9/11. We were talking about the first responders and all of their health issues. Well, there's a great new book that is out right now dealing with a very important subject. Here to discuss with me, John Siegfried. I want to welcome him back to the show. He's an author and military historian. He's written several books. A Wolf Remembered, the story of Medal of Honor recipient POW Sergeant Major John R. Caviani. The New Agent Orange, comparing dioxin exposure in Vietnam to Gulf War Syndrome and Sicknesses, which has just been released a short time ago. And you got one coming out next year, which I want to talk to you about as well, John, which is ISIS and the Rise of the Radical Islamic State. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Let's talk about, first of all, the upcoming book, the project that you're working on now, since 9/11, the anniversary was this week. I think a lot of people think that Al-Qaeda, ISIS, that the threat is over. And yet today I was reading that they have an unprecedented number of people crossing the border illegally who are on the terror watch list. So is the fight against radical Islamic terror ever over, John?
Well, when you research what their mantra is, which is to have a caliphate that rules the world, they will never stop. I mean, you've got, and this is not a guess, you have close to 2 billion Muslims in the world. 80% of them are uneducated, so they get their diatribe from people who, you know, hate the United States. They will never rest. You know, you've got probably 10% of them that are radical of the 2 billion. But the fact is that they're never going to rest because they believe that their mantra and goal is to rule the world with their caliphate. And that's just the way it is, you know. Now, that book I wrote a few years back, that's not coming out next year. That one is on hold right now.
I am
working on another book that's going to be involved with Graves registration, which after Vietnam, all remains of all of our many, many thousands of soldiers and women and men after Vietnam go through Dover Air Force Base. And Graves registration is something that most people do not know about, what these people do at Dover. And there's a movie called Taking Chance that I actually met Kevin Bacon, and he's the colonel, the Marine Corps colonel that's in it. It's a true story. It's unbelievable, and I'm going to tie that in with some other stuff that I won't bore you with. But that's my next move, to educate people on what the people at Graves Registration and Dover Air Force Base do when they basically put someone who's KIA in a body bag, in a casket, and they ship them to Delaware. Well, the whole process goes from there.
Yeah, that's a very important subject. And will you mention when presidents check their watch at Dover Air Force Base?
Say that again?
Well, Joe Biden was checking his watch, if you remember, when the heroes came back who were killed in Afghanistan after the disastrous withdrawal. I just remember that famous picture of him at Dover Air Force Base checking his watch, and just how hurt and infuriated the families were of the 13 who were killed at Abbey Gate.
Yes, well, Joe Biden wouldn't know whether he should wind his butt or, you know, check his watch. So, you know, I just, you know, that's why I don't pay attention too much, because that's a whole different animal. You know, he doesn't care about our soldiers, and he doesn't care about the American people, but that's a whole other subject. But yeah, Dover is an amazing place. I just got the okay from the hierarchy to get down there and get a VIP tour, which is not done much, so I'm really happy about it.
Well, you deserve it. Tell us about your latest project that you're working on, and I'm really interested in this concept of the New Agent Orange, and what our heroes are going through right now as you compare dioxin exposure in Vietnam to Gulf War Syndrome and Sicknesses. Now, a lot of those words sound big, but you always, in your writing, make it easy for people to understand, which I think is one of your great gifts.
Well, basically, what inspired me to do this is, as I was working on my first book, 60 Reasons a Bracelet, and anybody who wants to check out my stuff, they just go to johnsiegfried.com. It's like Siegfried and Roy, S-I-E-G-F-R-I-E-D. And all my books are on there. But basically, when I was doing 6 Degrees, I mean, I was talking to hundreds, which morphed into thousands of vets. And they kept bringing up all of their maladies that they, because they were exposed, whether they were in the riverine, the brown water, you know, Air Force in Thailand, Marines and Army on the ground, the Coast Guard, everybody was exposed to Agent Orange at some point for the 20 years that we were over there, including the Special Forces in the mid 50s. So, my friend who was in the Air Force, basically, I'll keep this brief. He said to me, he said, man, you got to write a book on Agent Orange. So I had in the back of my mind, I didn't include much in 6 Degrees, but basically in 2013, after my first book came out, I wanted to expose people to what all of our Gulf War folks from Desert Storm through Iraq and Afghanistan at that point, and compare all their illnesses with the Vietnam-related Agent Orange dioxin issues. And, you know, at that time, we were out of Iraq. Well, we had some guys over there, but Afghanistan had 34,000 troops in 2013. So we were hot and heavy over there. And I wanted to make a connection between Vietnam and the Gulf Wars, and that's why I came up with the metaphor, the new Agent Orange, which is what all the Gulf War syndromes and sicknesses for the last 33 years are. And they've, you know, they've had major illnesses. We had almost 3 million men and women serve from Desert Storm all the way through 2021 when His Lordship pulled us out of Afghanistan. That's a lot of folks, and a lot of them are sick from various issues. So even Schwarzkopf in government Congress hearings in 97 said, there's something wrong with my guys. So all this came through with research, and I did a tremendous amount of work doing, you know, what was happening with the NAM guys and all the presumptive diseases versus all the stuff that was going on with the Gulf War folks, because they were sick like right away and nobody did anything about it. You know, that was the problem. I said to myself, something has to be done. So that was the process of, you know, writing, getting it going.
Let's talk about, if we could, John, Agent Orange itself, and I know we have a dear friend of the show, Susie, who lost her husband to Agent Orange. I mean, it was obviously a very, very horrific and dangerous chemical. What was it, for those that don't know, and I mean, we have a lot of people here in our vast audience who are joining us every day. For those that don't know, tell us about Agent Orange and why it was so dangerous.
Well, Agent Orange morphed out of DDT, which was used, if you ever look at a railroad bed and see there's nothing growing, that's what we used way back in the early 20th century. And then Agent Orange is really one of the, what they call the rainbow herbicides. So there was 9 agents that we sprayed in Vietnam, all for different reasons, you know, for sod, for water bank, or I should say riverbank areas, leafy, triple canopy trees, and all growth and all that stuff. Agent Orange, there was 4. It was, you know, normal, high test, super high test, and then, you know, drag racing stuff. And then there was 5 other ones, blue, purple, white. So the main ingredient in the agents, and they were all listed by color, Agent Orange being the one that's mostly referred to, was loaded with dioxin, which is the most deadly herbicide ever invented. And, you know, Robert McNamara said he didn't remember if he gave the okay to the Air Force to do what was called Operation Ranch Hand, which ran from 62 to 65. But basically, we sprayed 12% of the landmass in Vietnam. So the agents were, if you can imagine this, one droplet of Agent Orange or blue or whatever had 9 million particles to it. So when these particles would hit the leaves or the ground or whatever, it was very potent. And that's why, I don't know if you had a chance to look at the front of the book in the back, the pictures. I've got the deformed Vietnamese kids on there. I wanted to wow people with the cover because I wanted to show them the NAM guys versus the, you know, folks in Desert Storm Beyond, all the burn pit stuff, all the stuff that, you know, when they spray in Vietnam, 2 hours later, everything was dead and on the ground. So Agent Orange, all the agents had what was called dioxin in it, which is the most deadly herbicide ever invented. And one of the guys who wrote the foreword was a world-class scientist who worked for the company that's cleaning up the bases in Vietnam right now. And he's a dioxin expert. So that's basically, you know, it's a chemical that kills growth and ultimately has caused many scores of cancers and illnesses amongst our Nam guys. And the Vietnamese people are still dealing with it. They're still dealing with it.
And so in your new book, as you compare Agent Orange and the dioxins and everything else with the Gulf War syndrome and sicknesses, there's a correlation here to the VA. And talk to us about the Veterans Administration and how it came under assault from poorly managed facilities.
Okay, no problem. So, you know, when you're writing, and I started writing this manuscript back in late 2013 after my wife had passed away, because I wanted to do another book. And what happened was, I was 5 months into the manuscript when the VA, mass media exposed the VA in April of 2014 for what they weren't doing for our vets. Guys who couldn't get a shower for a week, guys who couldn't get an appointment for 90 days. A couple of vets actually passed away because they couldn't get an emergency visit. So the VA came under tremendous fire in April. It was all over the news for quite some time. I'm going to say 5-6 weeks. And what it showed was that it's just one big bureaucracy. There's not enough people on the ground to take care of our guys. Some doctors have, you know, 5 or 6 patients a day, where a regular doctor might have 20. So it was mismanaged bureaucracy. You couldn't fire anybody for not doing their job. And everybody who's been in that position since they fired the admiral in 2014 has been challenged by the bureaucracy. And most of them are civilians. And that was the biggest mistake the government made by not putting vets in there. It would have cost them money because the vets would have approved a lot of these claims. So the VA has created havoc for our veterans of all wars because of the process you have to go through. That's why anybody who has a claim, and I go into this in great detail in the book, you know, you don't go to the VA. You go to a veteran service officer who you can find through the local VFWs or your local veterans office, and they'll help you through the process, because the VA is, their mantra is for the Nam guys, deny, deny until you all die. And that's a fact. And the Gulf War guys from Desert Storm, girls, they're pushing in their mid to late 50s now. And, you know, so they're going to become the Nam generation very soon. So it's problematic all the way around. They're doing a lot of stuff, but they're not compensating our guys and girls for commensurate with what their sicknesses are. And the paperwork is voluminous. Did that answer your question?
Very, very, very well, John. Thank you. And then talk to me then about the legislation, the recent legislation that affects our veterans and current serving folks. And what's the latest? I know you're an expert on burn pits and everything that our veterans went through with the Gulf War syndrome. So where do things stand now in terms of helping our veterans legislatively?
Okay, so if you remember last August, it was 3 August actually, you interviewed me, and that was the day that Congress passed the PACT law, which is the promise to address the toxics that were our servicemen and women were exposed to in all theaters since Vietnam. Now, that was a broad stroke, and it's a big bill, and it's got everything under the sun in there. There's pork in there, which always happens in Washington, and it was H.R. Bill 1908. The problem is, in August of last year, anybody who had had a claim was kind of put on hold because they had to assimilate knowing that another 3 million people were going to be covered. Now, all this stuff should have been done years ago. It's just the way they work. They, you know, they do all this stuff and they say they're going to do this and do that. But the fact is that the bill itself is positive, but it delayed claims for months. And to try to figure out, you know, how they were going to take care of another 3 million veterans. And by this actually last week, there was 1 million additional claims filed since August of last year. I mean, that's a paperwork nightmare. They can't handle the paperwork they have now. So it's just, it's like rolling stone, you know, and it just keeps gathering moss. And the moss is cancerous, and it's debilitating to all our vets. So they claim they're doing all this extra work, and they're trying, but the fact of the matter is, the inherent system right now is flawed. And as my good friend Commander John Wells, who was a commander in Vietnam, now he's a lawyer, and he's the one that got the Blue Water guys covered after years and years. What did he say in his testimonial? He said that John Thigpen captures the frustration of America's heroes as they engage in a last battle, not against a foreign enemy, but against the very organization chartered to care for them. With the recent passage of the PACT Act, relief has been extended that includes additional Agent Orange veterans. The job is not finished. Other areas of military toxic exposure remain uncovered. So in other words, we're looking at the symptoms, but not the cause. And that's the problem with PTSD and all these other stuff that these veterans are exposed to. PTSD doesn't come under all this stuff. It's a whole different animal. Same as traumatic brain injury. So again, the legislation is good, but it's going to take a long time to get this thing squared away. And there's a lot of people now that are piling on because they don't even have to file a claim. They don't know how to file a claim. So if they go to the VA, it's going to get hung up, and that's why they got to go to a veteran service officer. Excellent or somebody advice. Who knows how to penetrate the system.
Yeah, excellent advice. Listen, go to John's website, johnsigfried.com. All of his books are available at amazon.com. This is very, very important stuff. John, thank you so much for joining me. We appreciate your work on behalf of our veterans, and have a great day and a great weekend, my friend.
I would like to say one thing, and thank you. Today is POW/MIA Recognition Day. It's national, and it's, their sacrifice is not forgotten because there's still 81,000 missing in action since World War II that we constantly are looking for their remains. So say a prayer for all those POWs and missing in action.
Well said, my friend. God bless, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
And I want to tell you about my buddy Tom Scope.